This is JFM Podcast.
Every day, political stories fill our airways.
This morning, the national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular.
It is time for us to unite and move the state forward.
To the absurd.
The state president has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay
is
not good.
Yeah, motivation and even.
Tomorrow and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsa Akfana. It's a beautiful Thursday evening, 15th of February 2024. Gilbert, good evening. How's your day and how's the going?
Good evening, Ponsa. It was a fine day, finely poised, and we're still going on well. Hopefully it rounds up on a high or it ends on a high.
Yeah. Well, I would like to wish... my neighbor, I mean, there's a word that I used to describe her to colleagues just now, and Richard was making fun of me. But Mama Burnan, happy birthday to you. That is Mrs. Esther Namfa Bari. Happy birthday to you. I mean, she has a very fun kid, Gilbert. Anytime he sees me driving out, he says, I want to enter your car. And the kid is very fascinated with mechanical stuff. He has a bicycle. He has a big toy car. So at times, you know, if I come, I'll just see him dismantle, you know, everything. And then I asked him, how do you intend, you know, to fix it? He said he's going to fix it, you know, as you. And then his mother told me that anything, you know, like he loves, you know. Very interesting kid. So happy birthday to you, Mama Mborna. I pray that God bless you, reach your family in wisdom and good health, and of course, wealth. Well, yesterday we forgot to wish our guard top, that is Prince Valentine, a happy birthday. Yesterday was his birthday. So, I know that I have many sins. I've committed a lot of Gilbert. But I know that the sins that I've committed is not unpardonable. And I know that he's going to forgive me of my shortcomings and accept me back, you know, as the loyal boy that I am, you know, to him. So happy birthday to you, Prince Valentine Adese, publisher of Reality Newspapers. May God continue to bless you in good health and, of course, in how you work. The noble job of being a journalist. I mean, he has contributed immensely to this noble profession in the plateau, on the plateau and beyond, I would say.
Yeah, happy birthday to Prince Valentine, I did say. Of course, it was Valentine's Day yesterday. Yeah. Yes, and it's no coincidence that he's bearing the name Prince Valentine. So he's ever friendly, he's jovial. That's one thing I like about him. Ever smiley, you know. And I think that helps to cure half of life's problems when you put up a big, bright smile. We wish him all the best in life, family, career, and otherwise.
Yeah. Well, Gilbert, what stories have you been following?
Far from, you know, what just topped the headline this evening, but looking at the decision of the House of Representatives to propose a bill, which, by the way, has passed for second reading, an act to, you know, return the country from presidential to parliamentary democracy. I was caught up in that. I was all over, you know, trying to see how possible that's going to be. And because it will mean, again, a lot of steps to be taken. We have already, you know, began to see committees arise as a result of that proposal. And they did that across party divides, and that's quite interesting. You know, when lawmakers, rarely do they come across party lines to take such such bold steps. And just about this afternoon, Elder Statesman Alhaji Dantata gave his backing or even added his voice to it. So I'm hoping to see how would make this shift from presidential to parliamentary democracy, because many people argue that it's cheaper than what we have on the ground right now. And if you want to look at, you know, how feasible that has worked for other countries, out of 50, you know, countries in Europe, 32 are practicing parliamentary democracy. So if it's something that works for us, I think fine. But many Nigerians want to again ask the question, why do we always copy things that work perfectly only to bring them here and alter them to a fashion that does not suit our style as Africans? Because even the democracy we practice, there are already questions that we sacrifice, you know, our freedom for economic and should I say welfareism. Economic bondage, we are now in bondage, certain people would say, and our welfare is nowhere to be found. So I'm just keen on seeing how we progress or advance with this idea in the coming days and weeks, because there appears to be so much pressure and energy being put into that state of things.
I agree with you, Gilbert. one comment about presidential system. By the way, no system is perfect. You know, all system, you know, they do have their shortcomings. True. They have their, you know, flaws. But if you look at, I for one, I'm more concerned about efficiency. I'm not concerned about which one is less expensive or which one is more expensive. I think that shouldn't be the argument. Democracy at the heart and center of any democratic society, or let me presume that every democratic society, at the core of it, is putting the best interests of the citizen. You know, it should be top notch. If you look at, you know, in fact, there's an ongoing debate in America about, you know, the presidential system
of government,
because their allies, you know, for example, like Israel, look at what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing, because he knows that, I mean, if he insists on the war, you know, in Gaza, it may affect the reputation, you know, of Biden, you know, at home, and it may make him to lose the election. And you know, Bibi Netanyahu and Trump, they seem to be you know, good buddies.
Good
but
allies.
If you look at the system that is in Israel, is Knesset. I mean, it's a parliamentary system, you know, and that is why you can have one person coming to be prime minister again and again. And but for me, the question is efficiency. I wouldn't want for us to make that argument that we should always look at the cause, but we should look at, you know, that woman frying kose, you know, in the evening, this evening in Yoangwa, and, you know, selling kunungeda. How has democracy impacted her and lived her out of poverty, because she's working very hard, maybe all week selling kose and kunungeda, and she deserves more wage to make more income, rather more income, so that she can send her kids to good schools, and if she trains them well, the kids will support her, you know, in the future when her strength is weak. So that is, for me, the argument. Instead of saying that, no, we should, you know, think about the cost, you know, we should always, me personally, is about efficiency. At times, I don't really care about, you know, money, but how efficient the result is going to be, instead of always thinking about, you know, the cost and things like that. Trust me, every system, you know, has flaws.
True.
Look at Rwanda.
It's been run by humans.
Yeah, look at Rwanda. Hmm. Western societies, you know, always caution, always say, blame, or at times even insult Paul Kagame. But the question is that, is Rwandan economy not working? Mm-hmm. It is working. You know, so it's what works. It's efficiency instead of, you know, saying expensive, you know, or what have you. Well, Gilbert, I think we should talk about the meeting today by the federal government.
Yeah.
I mean, between the federal government and
states,
government. And they are mulling the idea of state police.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Gilbert.
Yes, please.
Here's an idea. I think that anywhere you have cluster of over 5,000 people, those people can provide their own security instead of, you know, having a centralized system. And this whole unitary system of government was brought by Agun Yoronse, you know, after the coup of 66. But How has it, you know, helped? I was reading, I think it was Premium Times. They did a very detailed story about what happened Christmas Eve in Bogos.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the response, you know, time. Most of the time is response, you know, time. And the whole argument of, you know, having indigenous people, you know, man, to say that, they understand the terrain. Understanding the terrain is one thing, but what if, you know, your enemy comes with the superior firepower? Are you going to say that, no, because I know the terrain, I'm going to, you know, stand? I mean, we're talking about gun. It's superior firepower. So we shouldn't lose the essence of the argument. You know, state police is very fantastic. In fact, me, I want even creation of local government police to go into even Angwa, like political wards. Like now we're in Giring Ward, you know, there should be some form of police of and then the police wouldn't step out of, you know, Giring.
Yeah.
They should, you know, man.
There should be a jurisdiction.
Yeah. I mean, that is how it works in America. My friend was, Dr. Bat Ashakong was telling me that there was a time, you know, his brother-in-law was driving to their house, to their home. And when he came, then they had a knock on the door. And then it was the Angwa police. He told me that Angwa, just like Yambanga, Angwa police. And then, you know, they just gave him a ticket. And the guy said, for what? He said, man, you were speeding. And how did they get to know? The helicopter.
Patrol.
Yeah. And it's all funded by taxpayers' money. So I think that we should, you know, I always bring the argument of efficiency at all times instead of saying that cause, you know, I'm even for, like I said, Angwa police or Yambanga, you know, people should be able to provide security for themselves, especially within a framework, legal framework, you know, instead of using excessive force and what have you.
You have to give credit on this matter to the PDP Governors Forum.
Yeah.
They have been at the forefront lately of championing the cause for state police.
Yeah, may I interject to say even former Governor Zhang?
Yes, yes. Oh,
I mean, the first person.
Big credit, yeah. That you argument. Can say is a brainchild of the former governor, you know, when you talk about state police. But lately, you remember they were here in the Plateau State Government House where they made that position again known. Yeah. And they did that just a couple of days besides the APC-led federal government is yet to come out of that scathing criticism by the governors describing Nigeria as one country on the way to Venezuela. You know, so they made that call again a couple of days ago. And I think it came quite timely and handy that the president had to convene this meeting before he goes to Ethiopia, you know, at Addis Ababa. So if we're able to come up with that, I think all the argument about, you know, this whole thing being politicized or political parties or even governors having to take control of that system or architecture to prosecute elections when electioneering seasons come is not going to hold water. For me, if you're going to have it, for example, will Giring Police Station or even just State Police do something against the interest of the people, the very people they know?
They live in the same.
Do you understand?
I don't think so.
So that's it. Mm. That's the argument. I think we have to think deeper. Yeah. Response time you spoke about, quite apt there.
Mm.
You have to come up with something that bridges the gap between when the military or even the MOPOL or whoever comes from the federal level comes to the rescue in critical moments, as against when you can have this response time cut short by a very, very huge standard. So I think that it's rife. The argument and the call has continued to echo and reopen.
It's long overdue.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's play this insert from President Tinubu meeting, the meeting today between him and state governors. When we come back, we have JUPTI, Joint Union of Plateau State-Owned Tertiary Institutions, to help us understand, you know, the issues arising from their press release, I think, 2 days ago. When we come back, the conversation will start. Stay here.
Thank you, gentlemen of the press. This meeting was called at the instance of Mr. President to intimate the state governors about what is happening, what the federal government is doing, and to also hear from the state governors their input about issues of development in this country. A lot of issues were discussed about the security situation in the country, the apparent food issue that the media has also been reporting about, and some other measures that will help in improving the state of our nation. Now, the first point is that a committee, the governors and Mr. President have agreed to set up a committee to deepen the conversation that has happened at the just concluded meeting. Of course, you know that it is impossible to complete most of the issues that were raised at the meeting, so it's going to be a continuous one. Secondly, Mr. President and the governors have agreed that these kind of meetings will continue in the interest of our nation. It is important that all the time the federal government and the state governors, who are leaders at the sub-national level, to continue to engage and interact collectively so that issues of national importance will continue to be addressed and we don't leave room for any speculation or for people who may seize the opportunity to say things that are not in the interest of our country. First, the National Security Advisor, the Director General of the State Services, the Inspector General of Police have been directed to coordinate with the state governors to look at the issue of those holding commodities. At this point, that the nation requires food to be brought out to the people so that we can control prices and put food on the table of most Nigerians. Other commodity traders are busy holding these commodities so that Nigerians will suffer or they will make more money as a result. So the governors and Mr. President have taken this decision that security agencies will cooperate or collaborate with the state governors to ensure that this ends. Number two, a decision has also been taken that in the interest of our country, there will be no need for food importation at this point. Nigeria has the potential to feed itself and even be a next exporter of food items to other countries. And we do not also want to reverse some of the progress we have seen in terms of food production in this country. What we are seeing now is just a temporary difficulty that will soon go away. Therefore, the solution to it is by continuous investment in agriculture so that food can be made available to all Nigerians. Of course, you know that Mr. President has declared emergency in agriculture many months ago. Therefore, part of the measures that he has taken is to ensure that more investments are made in this sector for the benefit of our people. The governors have also agreed to join hands with Mr. President to deepen their own investment in the agricultural sector so that more food will be made available to Nigeria.
Well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanap.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
We have a guest. We have Comrade Snow Peter Longbam. He's the chairman of Joint Union of Plateau State-Owned Tertiary Institutions, JUPTI. Good evening. Thank you very much for coming, sir.
Good evening.
Well, it's good to have you once again.
Thank you.
Well, you put out a statement 2 days ago calling for the reversal of the SAC head of tertiary institutions in Plateau. Why is that, and why are you taking particular interest in calling the state government to reverse its earlier decision?
You see, unions are stakeholders in the development of educational system, especially the tertiary institutions. This is where we groom the younger generation. And we should seem to do the right thing. And the law is there. A tertiary institution head must have to be interviewed, screened, then appointed. If he's fine, appointable. And we expect that he has a tenure well stipulated in the laws and edits. Therefore, we expect that he should be able to complete his tenure if he's found wanting by government in other ways, it should be made clear.
So you're saying that this is a clear violation of the state the laws, as the state government didn't follow due process, you know, in sacking heads of federal state-owned institution, higher institution.
Yes, because...
give us a case in point. Which, like, PLASO, give us a case to be specific.
Yes, the whole tertiary institution, they have their supervisory bodies. We have the NCCE, which is supervising the colleges of education. We have the Polytechnic, which the supervisory body is the NBTE. And then the universities, we have their supervisory bodies as the university commission. Now they have their rules. You see, we don't pick a state certificate. All these people, if they are accredited, the same certificates are regulated by the bodies at the apex, which is the bodies I've just mentioned. So we expect that, and there are rules which are given by the NCCE, NBT, and the University Commission. So if in any case there are situations, we expect that the laws should be followed. They are tenured by the rules and edits establishing the institutions. Now,
go ahead.
Now we are afraid as union.
What is informing your fear?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you see these regulatory bodies, because they regulate it, they have the rules which the state must follow. Now it is affecting. It may possibly affect the accreditation and re-accreditation of courses.
So are you insinuating that the state government is undoing itself?
Yes. Let me be bold to say yes, because I don't know where this advice came from. In this state, we know when the government set up a visitation panel, not a prompt, but they set up a visitation panel, we expected that as unions, because we are stakeholders in the development of education system on the plateau, which is the future of the state. Mm-hmm. We expect that if there is anything wrong, government should have come out. Clearly, tell us. We wouldn't have been in this position, arguing with government, if there was anything negative from the side of those heads of tertiary institutions.
Yeah, you spoke in your statement about... the report of the visitation panel set up by the state government. In that statement, categorically, you asked where the reports of those panels are. Aren't you aware, for example, that the panels may have given the governor a report? Or do you think the report should have been publicized or should have been made public to say, what if on the advice of those panels, the state government decided to take the actions it took?
Advice. Yeah. We you see, sometimes you take actions and the public interest is also very important. You see, we are stakeholders. Assuming there was anything and there was an advice, we believe that the union should have been called. This is a situation. But we are taking these steps. We are acting is not because we have the interest of anybody coming in, but we are protecting the interest of the system. At the end of the day, maybe a bad precedent is set. Because somebody may refer to this kind of situation where there was no fault. So we are expecting that these things, the whole stakeholders of the education system should have been put together to explain the situation. I understand government may set a panel and then at the end of the day, they make their decisions. But make it, at least even if it is not public, the stakeholders should be able to know so that there are people on the plateau. Now the setback, we are not talking about the issue of whether it was covered, but what setbacks does it bring to the education system? Assuming NBTE says we are withdrawing our programs. Does it not affect the plateau people, the future of the state? So that is our concern.
In the statement, again, because I keep referring to the statement, of course, I have it right here. I'm still going through that. in clear terms, you said this decision is an attempt to politicize the education sector, and you was condemned seriously, you know, from what I'm seeing. Do you think that a government, sensible government, for example, would attempt to politicize the education sector? Or isn't the government being misunderstood, you know, as a result of the actions that it took? Because I'm trying to, again, go through the issues over and over and again, and then point out what exactly would, as an ordinary citizen, make me feel these decisions were political.
Okay, we as joint unions, we term it as political because looking at the decisions, first, even if those hits were found wanting, we expect that they are suspended. First, those are steps. Suspended investigations go in. And even if they are found wanting, we are expecting that the next person, as the first circular came out, that they should hand over to the next most senior, which is a rule. But 24 hours after that circular, now another late circular came in and an appointment were made for those five tertiary institutions. Reading temporary appointment, which it has never happened in the history, in Plateau, not even in Plateau, in Nigeria as general. You can go and check. There is no temporary appointment in tertiary institution. The rules clearly stipulate that. The next person will take as an acting, pending when government decide to advertise. So with this whole scenario, we term it as political because people are advising wrongly. And we expect our dear governor to take critical look at some of the issues. You see, education is the key to the growth of every society. So therefore, their peculiarity is very different. So we expect every decision that should be taken along that line should be critically looked at. We don't expect a hasty decisions.
Oh, it was quite hasty, you reckon? Did you say the decision was hasty? That's what I'm trying to confirm, sir.
Yes, the removal and the appointment within 24 hours. The circular came out with that the head should hand over to the next most senior. Which you expect the head should hand over whatsoever to the next most senior in the institution. Unfortunately, 24 hours after that circular, an appointment came in. Let me tell you, there are peculiarities in the system. You don't come out from any system and go into the tertiary institution. You must be a product of that tertiary institution. It must be the particular tertiary institution. A head must be may be brought from other polytechnics to the polytechnic. But you don't bring somebody. You bring somebody as a medical doctor who does not have educational background to come and head a tertiary institution of health.
So, I mean, you're insinuating that it may be solely based on political patronage instead of competence.
Well, we have stated our fears.
Okay.
And maybe that is the truth.
But strikes, usually, unions such as yours would always want to point at, look, we're going on strike if certain conditions or conditionalities are not met. Would you in any way be looking at the bigger picture? For me, the fear is, let's not hear that, you know, the union is mulling the idea of going on strike and all that, which is common practice in Nigeria.
You see, Plateau State has suffered a lot. I have been a chairman, and for that long, I knew the times we went on strike, and this has affected the system. We are not saying, as union leaders, we will say we'll go on strike. That is not the way union works. Our members at the Congress will decide. because mostly people affected are academics, and then people there, we are afraid that one day it will affect you, whether you speak or you don't speak, whether you say the truth or not. And I believe as union, we always, as duty, maintain the integrity that we always say the truth, no matter how it hurts. The past administration, I think Jupti has been the one struggling to point out where it is wrong. And you see, most developed countries develop because unions are also part of it. It doesn't matter. You listen, because those people are there. You cannot do anything without that person that is there on the grassroots. There must be somebody there that must tell you the truth. Let us not work on rumor mongering. People, because of looking at political positions, will bastardize the whole system. And let me tell you something. This institution has suffered a lot because of politics. We go back to the days where Polytechnic, in Plateau State, wherever you take your certificate, at the first instance, if it is Plateau State, you are given a VIP. But today, where are we? Most of our students left this state.
We heard that there's so much migration of students from Plateau to seek higher education somewhere, neighboring state like Bauchi.
Yes.
Are you confirming that?
Yes.
And do you think it's deliberate government policies that is hurting, you know, the student and making them understand that their state government don't care about them and that's why they're moving out?
Yes. Because go to the institutions and look at how dilapidated the infrastructures are. There is no government direct intervention. You only mention Polytechnic and Gindri, where they have TED funds. All these institutions.
So even Kas Kurugi doesn't have a TED fund?
They don't. Only these two institutions.
And even Garkawa College of Agriculture?
They don't have. Because of this thing, they don't have anything to support themselves.
And how about funding, you know, by the government? How consistent
is
funding?
That is why in most of our struggles, I think this thing has been there with government. We have struggled for them. You see, these institutions have their autonomy. They have autonomy. They prepare budgets. But I can tell you that for over 20 years now, there is no direct government infrastructural development to say directly from the budget. And these institutions pay money to go and defend budgets. At the end of the day, it is only recurrent expenditures that have been taken care of.
Right.
No capital expenditure, no subvention.
Let's talk about, you know, the part that you said that the joint union observed with concern the politicization of the removal and appointment of chief executives of tertiary institutions and the outright, you know, that's emphasis, and the outright cancellation of employment carried out in October 2022. Talk to us, you know, about that. I mean, what's the feeling of Jupti, you know, of the cancellation of appointment by the Mutfang administration?
I have stated it in the earlier statement. The cancellation of the removal of the heads.
Yeah, the cancellation of employment right now.
Cancellation of employment. Sure. People don't understand this history because people from the outside, you know, if they are not enlightened,
yeah, but know but the Mutfang administration is alleging that Governor Lalong, you know, the employment that he did didn't follow due process. A panel was set up, you know, to review some of how some of this employment, you know, were given. And you're saying that people don't, perhaps you like to educate us about the internal workings of.
It's okay. I think in our struggle as union in tertiary institution, I should remind you that over 20 years there was no major employment in the tertiary institution. And remember,
only casual staff.
Only casual staffs. Even the casual staffs, some departments are lacking. Some departments are lacking. And when union observe that, you cannot run an institution on a casual staff. Now, when union observe that, we begin the struggle for employment. And it was one of the issues that we went on strike about three times under the last administration. We went on strike three times. At the third strike, government now agreed in 2022 that they will employ staff to the tertiary. It was a demand of union, seeing the situation on ground. And it was an agreement signed between union and government for them to make that employment. That employment, it was an issue. It's not that government were determined to make that employment at that particular time. It was a pressure from government, and it was a product of a strike. I don't know what happened to the other ministries, because after that employment, when the head of service announced it to the public that tertiary institutions are going to make employment, then demand started coming from other this thing. I cannot speak for them.
Okay.
I cannot speak for other this thing. But I knew that this employment was basically a product of an agreement between union. So you see how connected we are with the
Understand, but the Mutfwang administration has alleged that the Lalong administration didn't follow due process. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And to add to that, your statement attempted to capture something about the white paper. Can you help us talk about it?
Let me...
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Due process.
Due process.
You see, that is what we have been arguing. You see, since this politics, you know, the tertiary institution autonomy has been bastardized. You see, there are employment process that we are supposed to have been followed. You see, even when we make this agreement with government, we didn't expect that the head of service should make that pronouncement. It was the tertiary institution that we are supposed to take. We are not in a dispute that whatsoever, because the unions were desperate, because they needed the staff because of the future of these children. Some of them, in fact, in a department, you can hardly have one permanent staff heading a department. It's a bad precedent. Yeah, it's a bad this into the whole system. You have somebody on as an HOD on level 15, and then you don't have anybody on even level 7 or 8. Somebody's supposed to take over. And this is a system. And this is a future. So who takes over? That is our argument. But at a particular point in time, we said, government, we are not even let them do this employment so that the state will not suffer. I agree with you. There are certain lapses. You can see in our statement, we stated that some lapses should not deter the good intention of making that employment. We are not speaking for any government. I was a leader in under the last administration. And I knew that even the last administration knows that JUPTI, as a union, has fought them to the last this thing on things that are wrong. We went on strike about 4 or 5 times under that administration to make sure that things are corrected, so that the system we are looking at, look at the peculiarity of this system. You are molding your child and you seem to be doing the wrong thing. What will he learn from there? Now people on the plateau are believing that you can just become somebody one day and then destroy the whole system. That is a very bad precedent.
All right, well, let's open the phone lines in case you're just tuning in.
He was asking.
Yeah, go ahead.
The report of the white paper.
Yeah.
I think that's the point I was trying to make. You said after the government, you know, came up with a committee to review the employment and the white paper and all that, I wanted for you to just speak on that report.
Yes, we expected government came in. And you remember even at the campaigning, this same period with the governor now, he stated clearly, and it was captured. And at that time, the employment were going on. He never condemned it. He said even plateau people needed more. And he said it was a propaganda against him. We unions took it like that. And at the end of the day, those employments were met. He came in, okay, let me review it. The committee was set up. Suspend the staff. Let us look. All their files were taken. We unions will follow up. Met the committee, met government. And they said, all these people are plateau people. We are not going to send them out because the state needs workers. But anybody that does not have the requisite qualification will be sent out. We said, unions, we don't support bad things. This same committee came out with a report. Government set up a committee again to come out with a white paper. And the white paper was brought. I remember very well the statement. And some of the ministries started implementing the white paper. And this thing categorically came out. It was explicit. It didn't say cancel this employment. It said review. And in the case of tertiary institution, it was that a governing council was supposed to be set up and then the review will continue. But in our argument as union, we said even there is no governing council, there is a law there that the extended management, which have representative of both the Ministry of Finance, Head of Service Office, Higher Education, are there in the extended management. So you cannot delay a process because governing council was not there. There was a provision for it. The extended management. We are supposed to take the rule and the role of the governing council. But union just decided that let us wait for government because we believe that this government is government that have a fair hearing. It is surprising that this came up as a surprise to us.
Correct. Well, let's open the phone lines. In case you're just tuning in, we've been having a chat with Comrade Suno Peter Longbam. He's the chairman of Joint Union of Plateau State-Owned Tertiary Institutions, JUPTI. You can call 081-218-7777 or call 090-556-6699.
On X at JFM Joss and on Facebook at JFM Live.
Don't forget to turn down the volume of your radio or you turn it off completely and then you tell us the name and where you are calling from. That is very important for you to do. Let's take the first call. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Yes. This is Solomon Atang. I'm calling from Jude for Nukwit.
Thank you for calling.
Honestly, what is happening in Plateau State about education, it really surprised me and I wonder what type of democracy we are practicing in Plateau State. To me, it's like anything done by Lalong, these governors, the Mufang will sack them all because it started from the chairman. And we are really seeing the clear handwriting where it's going to. And I don't think when you continue like this, you will have the love of people in Plateau State. It reducing his supporters that people have given their time. People that voted for they voted for Mufan. But now they are seeing it and they are crying. And I don't think it will help Plateau State. Plateau State will not grow with this type of hatred government. So they should really think very well and know how to bring people together, not to be stacking everybody in government. It's no good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thought with us. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling. Yes, thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Eddie Kumar. I'm calling from Teacher and T-Junction.
We're listening. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I was very guest here. I've spoken very, very well. You see, when we look at the issue of employment, especially in tertiary institutions in the Plateau State, it's something that is very, very unfortunate. Seeing the kind of challenges this present government has faced when it comes to office. You see, the employment that the last administration have done at the end of their tenure, I think is something that is very, very questionable, which we have seen a lot of the high numbers of people that have been employed, which have not been employed since initially the government have started. So that to say that there is a very questionable act on that employment. And now that employees, I think they have to consider the government. They cannot frustrate that the government have cancelled the employment. The government has its own reason. If we look at the other ways, what the governor is doing, I think it's very, very recommended. Everybody is seeing, even the blind is feeling it. So you see, that to tell you that we have to give the government a chance, because everything, the government has to follow a step. Even the government have leave that employment so that they are going to employ again, they are still platooning. So it's just an individual opportunity and personal interest. So we have to think otherwise in terms of responding to some policy that a governor that have a very good policy is doing. Let's give him a chance. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you, Sadiq, for sharing your thoughts. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fonsat. My name is Benedict, calling from Solingara.
Thank you for calling. We're listening.
Yes. First of all, I want to state categorically that Mufan is a very, very wonderful, godly man. He's not a wishwanting governor. If the appointment that was made by the former government that seemed to him to be illegal, that seemed to him, you know, not to go down well with his government, I think it's just for him to shake up all these appointments and then review all of them for the betterment of the Plateau people. So people, the opposition should stop making these noises they are making and allow this man to concentrate on the good work he has been doing on the Plateau. Supposing tomorrow, God forbid, and God is going to forbid, that anything happens to Plateau and the educational sector is not actually having the response it's supposed to have, the whole blame goes back to the governor. And that is the same mistake the governor doesn't want to make. So no matter whose horse is God, the governor is going to scrutinize and then fish out all these incompetent people selected because of some political reasons. The former governor wants to use him for some political issues, and he's going to wipe them out. And then the people that are actually, you know, prepared to be at these offices, he's going to keep them there. So please, enough of the distraction from the opposition, because the governor has inherited a lot of problems. A lot of issues are on the governor. This man has been so restless, working from left, right, and center. It is for the betterment of the people and for the people living in the Plateau that he's even making all this government. So I do not see it as a witch hunt just like the opposition is saying. But away from that, not even the issue, that's not even the main problem of the Nigerian people, of the Plateau people. The problem are actually facing now on the Plateau is hunger.
Wrap up your thoughts, sir. Wrap up your thought. Thank you.
I'm wrapping it up now. What I want to say is that the APC should provide for Nigerians. The Nigerian giving to the Nigerians is asking that they should return the Nigerians given to them in 2015. The APC should answer Nigerians. Where is the Nigeria given to you in 2015?
Thank you. This is much we'll take. Thank you, Benedict. This is the much we'll take. Thank you. This is the much we'll take. Let's give other people opportunity to share their thoughts. Gilbert, take care of us. Go through.
On X, yeah. Nempum Dogdun says, God bless you all for a job well done all the time. Izank, as he says, I don't understand those legislators that want to take us back to the parliamentary system of government. It's not the same people that will be in the office. Aaron Fisher says, the problem bedeviling Nigeria is not the type of system of government, but corruption, nepotism, and lack of political will. On Facebook, Ayodele Agbabiaka says, if you do well, you'll be rewarded. The government is trying to sanitize the academic sector. And Felkuka Gowon says, Jupti has said it all. Politicizing education is leading it to decay, though some of the sacked heads were not capable. Mochinme Kassam says, the state of our tertiary institutions on the Plateau is shameful. I thought this current governor will correct the wrongs, but they are becoming worse. John Paul Chakop says, politicizing the heads of tertiary institutions is actually a setback to the education sector on the Plateau. We hope that the governor and all the new heads of the various institutions will swing into action for the benefit of the state. Samuel Sam says, he who pays the piper dictates the tune. Our system is flawed, hence, unless and until the leaders do the needful, and allow the system to run itself, things like this will linger. Bold Dave Jonathan says, it's really frustrating when politics interferes with the appointments of competent leaders in the education sector. And Rich Mwajon says, I think the government should follow the rule of law before making decisions. God bless our governor. And Mark Dachun says, if the VC is found wanting of irregularity and is going to be detrimental to the education system, they should allow him to continue because his tenure has not elapsed. Let us not use emotions and sentiment on this issue.
Yeah, maybe we can take more because we have some bit of time, Gilbert, or maybe on X.
Oh, I just took X initially, but let's go to Facebook again.
Facebook, okay.
Yeah, Nurse Nyango Gongjon says, I don't know much about the appointment of heads of institutions, but I believe whatever the governor is doing is for the betterment of the state, especially working with people who bring the best for his government. The creation of state police, okay, you say that's welcome. That's a welcome idea for you. And Julius Achigak says, for me, if the government has appointed competent hands to head those institutions and those people who work for the progress of the institutions, then all you will say is a good one, but the sacking comes at a time when Nigerians are suffering. And Izank, as he says, the way politics is being played on the plateau is quite different. They politicize and criticize wrongly. Let there be constructive criticism. And David Mark Sambo says, education is the bedrock of every society, but in Nigeria, the educational sector has been bastardized with the employment of unprofessional people, lack of proper attention to the sector, creation of state police will go a long way in nipping the issue of insecurity in the bud. And Comrade Longat says, how long will Mr. President continue increasing the hope of Nigerians? Things are getting harder on a daily basis. Imagine this is the giant of Africa. How long will we continue like this? Nigeria is this governance. Godwin Sule says the state government should try and correct the wrongs that are happening in the universities like UNIJOS. The kind of fake admission that's happening in the school is too much. I was I can't get hold of that. Zare Labar says to me, there is no smoke without fire. The removal of the heads of tertiary institutions is done based on the reason best known to the government. Why those people who were employed as part-time lecturers were not considered during the employment exercise? Rather, politicians brought in their families and friends, which most of them were third-class graduates to be lecturers.
Yeah. Thank you, Gilbert. Well, Comrade Suno Peter, please go ahead and give us respond to the comments you've heard in your final word.
Yeah, I see the whole situation. You see, Plateau State, somebody made mention that politics in Plateau State is becoming something. And I'm afraid that the future generation are keen into that. Let us put politics aside. This governor is our governor, which political party. And we are talking about a system that has a rule. And we have edict. Let us justify our arguments based on those issues. Yes, we are saying there is no smoke without fire. But let us justify it. Let us do what is right. As unions, we always protect what is right. So I don't think, I am limited by some of the response to make statements. But I'm making this plea to all the youths on the plateau that we should seem to put our differences on political issues so that we should move the state forward. At least we have a governor. We can criticize where it is positive. So that at least we adjust ourselves. This gives us a very good foundation for building a state that is solid. We are saying the time is now. And the land is green. We should be able to do the right thing. Even the government, I am afraid. I had a statement from a political appointee saying unions have their boundary. Will unions sit and watch wrongs being done? We are only correcting. let us be able to correct some of these things so that we don't set a bad precedent. I'm saying this, that this has never happened in the history of Plateau State, that head of a tertiary institution are being removed like that. This is a history. Is it a bad one or a good one? Let us try to think how we make reference to the government we said is dear to us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Comrade Suno Peter Longbam, Joint Union of Plateau State Owned Tertiary Institutions, JUPTI. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Gilbert, your final word.
Yeah, good evening. Please stay security conscious. And just try to be great citizens.
Yeah, well, the news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Do have a good evening. My name is Ponsak Manap. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.